Welcome to Ellen's Girls. This is Robin.
This is Wendy.
Susan.
I'm Jill.
Good day, mate. It's Kim.
Yo, yo, it's Shelley.
Hi, listeners. Welcome back to Ellen's Girls. Today, we are talking about mental health, and it's a big topic in our society nowadays. And joining us, we have five of the six girls. We have Shelley, who hasn't been available for a while. So welcome, Shelley.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you. And myself, Robin, and Susan, and Kim from Australia. She's back in Australia. And Wendy. So there's a good array of people to talk about this topic. And I thought it would be a good topic because being back on the college campus myself when I was studying for a master's degree and working with students in a counseling sort of situation, I was counseling them for nutrition. But often in those sessions, depression and anxiety came up a lot. And, you know, as a dietitian, we are looking for eating disorders, which we saw a little bit of that as well. I'm not trained for that, so I would always refer it back. The problem is a lot of the mental health professionals on campus are just swamped, and there's just not enough help. And so it makes me just wonder, you know, what's going on? I mean, are our young people just so overwhelmed and there's so much competition and all these things? What has changed? Or has it always been, people have anxiety and have depression. It just hasn't been talked about. So I open up to all of you. I can say personally that among my children, one of them had some depression going through high school, trying to figure out sexual identity. And I put her in counseling and that seemed to help. And it touches everyone is how I should say it often. You know, not anyone is immune from it. And would you guys add to that, or what are your thoughts?
This is Susan, and I have a son who has depression and anxiety. And so we've kind of been on that roller coaster for a while. I feel like it's always been there. Having done a lot of counseling with him, he was a minor when, you know, we went through this whole thing with him. And so they have like group counseling that you do together. And then he had separate counseling and all this stuff. And in the group counseling, I realized that even I have anxiety and times of depression, of course, not like him. And I think teenage years on top of it tends to amplify it.
Susan, can I ask you something? Just being a parent, what is that like? I mean, you know, I know with my own daughter, it was devastating to just think, how did I fail? And how could I have missed these signs? And how can I do it better? And all those things. So did you go through any of that? Or?
Oh, yeah, all of that. You go through the gamut. It's interesting. Because you do look at how you parented them. You know, you try to parent all your children the same, so there's not any like, well, they did this and they got that.
Or someone's favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole fair.
Yeah, it's not fair.
It's really, I mean, you try to be fair, but their personalities are so different.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So it's my youngest, and on top of that, he's my youngest. So it's, you know, I'm sure that the other two are like, well, you know, he was spoiled with this, or he got to do this when I got to do that. And, you know, but I, you know, as they've become adults, I think they also understand that I've been there for each of them through different things when they needed it at certain times. But, you question your parenting, you question, you know, then you start going, okay, well, the worst thing is you don't want to point like, this is from your side of the family, not mine. I might have thought it a couple times. But...
I'm pretty sure it would always be like from our side of the family, yes. It's always the mom's fault, right, you guys? I mean, it's always the mom's fault.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of what I think. Anyone else want to jump in on it? Or?
So, this is Wendy, and... Well, I would like to just briefly say I do remember mom, our own mother, sometimes having the blues, you know. She'd just get a little sad or blue every once in a while. So I do think sometimes it can be related to seasonal change and the ups and downs of life. But that's kind of not what we're talking about. We're talking about a little bit more... they can't get over it. Mm. And I also have one of my three that struggles with anxiety. And I want to say it kind of started setting in middle school a little and then just spun out of control a bit in high school. But she's very self-aware. And she did come to us and tell us how she was feeling, and she requested to see a counselor. And so,
Wendy, can I ask you a question? Sure. Do you think that she was able to be a little more aware and understand kind of what was happening because people have started talking about it, you know, and. A little less stigma possibly, or?
Yes, I do think so, because I know in high school she went to see her, I guess it's the guidance counselor, not the academic counselor, but the guidance counselor. And she talked to them, you know, first, and just about some of her thoughts and, you know, how she, you know, she felt and, so I would say it's been a bit of a struggle, and, you know, we have ups and downs, and but from my perspective, it's been really a challenge in the dynamics of the house as well, just to work through it, I think.
Yeah. That's interesting, because when my youngest started going through it, the other two had already kind of left. I mean, he had been going through it before, but when it got really bad, they had already left. So the dynamics in the household had already shifted. So that's interesting that, you know, you're dealing with it with all of them still in the house, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think it was definitely part of hers was more peer related. Mm-hmm. The onset of it anyway was related to social situations in school and the academic pressure and maybe not quite finding her good fit of like, you know, of a group in school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that contributed to it a little more, but, you know, she brought that home with her into the household, and there was a lot of turmoil, I think. I like to call it chaos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I sometimes think my own experience has been, you know, our spouses, we parent differently from one another. And with our oldest, you know, you kind of practice on the first one. Mm-hmm. We did put a little, my spouse put a little academic pressure, you know, on her. And I think... they started butting heads, and I think that added to it, you know? And so that was kind of a struggle. I mean, for me to watch, mm-hmm. you know, and it was sort of like, if I could tell anybody out there listening that, you know, odds are your kids are going to do fine in life. They don't have to get straight A's.
Yeah. It's very true, because with, it was very similar, you know, our oldest, it got the best grades, and then the other two had to follow. And my middle child is my daughter, and she automatically competed. Whereas my youngest didn't want to compete. He's a totally different person, you know? And so there might have been some of that pressure of, oh, I've got to be like my siblings, or I've got to, you know,
live up to it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. And I just think that everybody has these different backgrounds, and yet you've come together to raise these kids. And so what might be successful and the success formula for, say, my spouse isn't going to necessarily fit for the kids.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's, I mean, I think it's a great thing to push, you know, encourage them and kind of push a little bit, keep them on the right track. But there, you have to figure out where that line is with each kid, because otherwise it's a non-incentive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really tough balance. And then if they already have these predispositions to have anxiety and have depression, I think, you know, the pushing can be detrimental.
Yeah. I feel like the anxiety, I mean, the depression is difficult. The anxiety seems to be more difficult because you have this anxiety to go out into, everyone has slightly different types.
Out of all of us that are on, Shelly and Kim, you haven't said much because we've all been yakking.
Well, I don't have kids.
Have kids, but my question is, do you have anxiety? I mean, is that something that's in our kind of from the way we were raised, or
so I think
genetically?
I personally believe that every human being has anxiety to a degree, and it's actually how you learn to manage your anxiety. It's like depression as well. I think anybody can fall into depression, but it's you have to figure out ways to, I mean, I know there's more clinical things, and there's levels of depression where I think, I'm kind of fortunate. I think that I don't have, you know, medication, or you don't have to have any of that. It's about, speaking to somebody. For me, having somebody, I go to counseling, you know, every week, and I think it's an important thing. And I think everybody should, to be honest, I think, how you manage, you know, it is, yeah.
So I'll say this, is that when you have normal levels of anxiety
and depression,
yeah. I would agree. So, you know, there's times in my life where you have a lot of stress, or there's turmoil in your life, and you tend to, you learn your own way to deal with, say, depression or anxiety. Like, I would just read and read and read for hours, you know, and it was like my escape. And, so you start going through all the counseling with my son, you start recognizing all these different like things that you've put in place in your life to help you through these things. Now, when you have a more diagnosed, you know,
that's right.
Anxiety and depression is different.
Oh no, I agree 100%, and that's what I'm saying. I think that it's always that it's the degrees of it, and I think that that's, you know, it can be much worse. And I have friends that have struggled with it, and it's really actually quite difficult for me. Like, I actually have to tell them I don't actually know how to deal with this. So it's also, I have to learn how to manage that with friends or people that are going through it, because when you're not in it, you don't know how to deal with it. So I think it's really important for people to learn. And, you know, and for me, managing teams and having, younger groups below me, I want to understand that. And so I think it's really important if they're anxious, or how we can actually assist them, you know, in the work environment as well.
There's a huge difference between stress and anxiety.
Yes.
And and a clinical depression.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Clinical depression is...
Wait, this is Shelly speaking, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, sorry.
Okay.
It's a chemical imbalance.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So clinical depression does require medication. And, you know, that's a hard thing if you have kids, as an adult, anything.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to wrap your head around.
Yes.
Because if you do not have it,
you can't
understand it.
That's right, Shell.
So that is what I would say, is normal stress and anxiety.
Exactly.
For sure, I think everybody has different levels of it. I have full panic attacks and anxiety attacks on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I know that, yeah, I should probably exercise more to, you know, release that. Should I do meditation? Absolutely. There are ways that you can cope with it. It's not a medication that's going to, it's not a chemical imbalance in me that's going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So for me, anxiety is 100% stress related.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So with
depression is a full different beast.
Yeah. So with my son, he explained one time to me, anxiety, and you guys maybe have had a similar story of, of going through a grocery line, and the whole time just this anxiety, worry, constant battle with just talking to the cashier. That's it. Just making, say you make a statement and then in your mind going, oh gosh, did they take that wrong? Did they didn't laugh. Oh, did they understand what I meant? Oh, I mean, it's just a constant thing in your head that's playing. And I can't understand that, you know, because I can go and talk to a cashier and be like, hey, what's up? And they just don't answer. And you're like, okay, they must be having a bad day, you know? But my son would internalize it and be like, oh, I'm doing everything wrong. I'm socially not able to do this. And he is. He's a social person. It's all up in his head, you know? So.
Yeah, my older daughter sent me a video, and I wish I could remember the name of it, because it really describes it so well. It's kind of a cartoony thing that this guy going through his life and just this constant voice in his head, telling him, you know, you're stupid. Oh, that was dumb. Or why are you, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, oh my God, if people live with that, it's how awful for them, you know? Mm. And it's like, how can we help them not have that, you know? And I think medicines, I think they work. I think they help.
They do. Yes. Yeah.
And so I know it's a struggle sometimes as a parent to make that choice for your child if they're, underage, but it's one of those decisions. Do you withhold a possible happiness by not having to take the medicine, or do you let them take the medicine and possibly find balance? You know, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a hard decision. When we were going through it, I really pushed against it. My husband has a sister who has struggled with it for her whole life, and I see her, and I didn't want him to follow that path. And so I equated it with, you know, lifelong medication that she's on. And I don't think, I mean, I really talked to a lot of psychologists and counselors and read. And he had depression and anxiety, but the depression was definitely winning that battle. And they said he needs to go on it and just stabilize. And so I finally, you know, because I was like, we need to get him on a schedule. We need to have him eat certain stuff. We need, you know, he was in swim, so he was exercising plenty. But you go through all of these steps of we need to do this, you need to do this instead. But when it came down to it, he needed to go on the medication for, you know, a year, see how he was doing. And, you know, it's been an on and off battle since. So.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a cure all.
No, I don't. I think you have to do a lot of other work too. And it's hard because he said it's exhausting.
Yeah.
So
Susan, I would say I did the very similar thing, you know, oh, we need to go get you, go to the doctor and have a full physical. And then you need to start exercising. You need to, just trying to try all the other holistic options.
Yeah.
And she's on a very mild medication, but it has helped tremendously with the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So, I tried jumping through all those hoops. I feel like I put it off too long, once we finally said the doctor recommended that we try it, and it worked, quite well. I kind of was kicking myself that we had taken so long to get there,
yeah.
So maybe that was the stigma playing in my head too, or the thought that maybe I wasn't doing enough to help her, holistically get over it.
Yeah. Well, I think that you kind of have to go through that and try a lot of those options.
Even for the doctor to make the recommendation, I do feel like when we finally went back to him the second time and we had tried counseling, and she's still in counseling as well, but she was doing counseling and lots of other things. And so that helped him arrive at the point too, that he felt good about, we should try this, medication.
Yeah. It's hard because now that he's an adult, my son's chosen to go off the medication, and he seems to be doing okay, but every so often I'll know it's not a good day, so medication's hard, it's a hard decision, and I think it's a very personal one. And I don't think you can have someone tell you to do it or not tell you to do it. I think it's a journey you need to decide on your own. And, because I did say to Connor, I agree, Wendy, when he got on it, it did level him out. And I apologize. I said, I'm sorry I waited so long. But he had come to me and said, I feel like I really need to try this. And I said, okay. And then when we did it, he leveled out, and I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry it took me so long to get there.
So do you think it's pressures of today's society for kids that contribute to it? Because like Shelley, you're saying you have panic attacks. Have you always had those, or is that a recent development?
I'm sorry. You guys cut out a little bit there. What was that, Rob?
Oh, I was curious about the panic attack. Is that something you've had all your life, or is it a recent thing? So I'm just wondering as you...
No, I have. I think I've always had anxiety, but you just kind of deal with it a little bit. But I think... certain life stressors brought on me panic attacks, and I can be just literally driving down the street and go into a full panic attack. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm not doing anything in particular. I don't feel stressed out. It's kind of a weird feeling.
Is it your heart racing and sweaty
races,
and all that?
Yeah. Heart races, can't breathe. Feel like you're having feels like you're having a heart attack.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be scary.
Yeah. And obviously that isn't ideal for anybody to have to go through. But,
no. Huh.
I for myself don't love taking medication. And so I've kind of learned for me, if that happens, I have to pull myself out of that situation in whatever I'm doing. And they tell you there's like the five, you're supposed to do five things, like look for five things you can touch, look for five things you can, talk about, or, like it takes your mind off of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to do that. But
does it work?
It calms me down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would I say it works? Probably. I mean, if it worked, I wouldn't be having panic attacks.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, it works in the moment, right? It's like taking a rescue inhaler when you can't breathe, right?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like that.
So, right.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, I probably should be on medication, to be honest.
Always an option, right? I mean, it's not like you have to do it. It's always out there. You can always do it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So in terms of anxiety, I know anxiety, there are medications out there that take away the physical effects of anxiety, like the sweaty palms or the racing heart rate. You know, mm-hmm. my son was on those because public speaking anxiety. Mm-hmm. So for class, if he had to do a presentation, I know he took an anxiety medicine that is like a anxiety blocker or whatever, beta blocker or something that stopped the physical effects of anxiety. But he said he still felt anxious, but he wasn't having the physical effects of it. Does that make sense?
He didn't feel like he was having a heart attack.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like his palms weren't sweaty. He wasn't shaking because he constantly moves his leg, you know, up and down. He's constantly moving. Like those things were put aside. But he said in his mind, he still felt anxious. But mm-hmm. he could get through whatever he was supposed to be doing for school without the other physical attributes of that.
So do they go hand in hand, anxiety and depression, or can they be separate? Because I just don't know.
Oh, they can fully be separate.
Okay.
That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, and some people have the anxiety but don't have the panic attacks. My daughter sometimes has the panic attacks as well.
Right.
And it's usually directly correlated to stressful events. I mean, it's not just driving down the road not thinking about anything in particular, like Shelley mentioned. It's like stressed about a test, and as she's entering the school, she will literally feel like she cannot, like somebody, a boa constrictor is around her chest and she cannot breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the stomach, sometimes the stomach, but it's mostly that not being able to breathe thing.
But, yeah, that little thing that you have to do every second of the day.
Breathe to live.
So was it the stress of school? Is it just too much or?
No, I think, Robin, I just think people have different chemical makeup.
Well, I do believe that. I think people feel things very differently.
Yeah.
I have one kid who feels things really intensely, right?
Mm-hmm.
And others that just kind of, blow it off. So when someone says something, when you discipline them as a child, they like never do it again and take it really to heart. Oh, I'm a bad person. Where the other kid's like, yeah, whatever, mom, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the question that Robin raises is very good. Like when we were growing up and we had tests coming up, did we get so stressed out about the test that we had an anxiety attack?
That's a good point because I mean, growing up, we grew up in a very small town. The very small school, and I didn't even really know what the SAT test was when I took it. Like, mom just said, go take it, and I'm like, okay, whatever, I'm taking this test. I had no idea what it was for, whereas now, you know, there is so much pressure on getting into certain schools or, you know, and the social media amplifies all that.
I think that's key. I think that we all have stress and anxiety. I mean, to level, like we all just were discussing levels, but I think social media and expectations and constant being available to everybody and on your phones has increased it exponentially. Mm-hmm. I think that when people aren't going to go out into nature and pretty much have a anxiety attack typically, unless there's a bear chasing them or something. but I think it's absolutely amplified it. And I've done tests on myself, even of, you know, getting off of social media and seeing how, I think I'm much calmer. It's really interesting to kind of, you know, do these social tests on yourself even. And,
that's interesting, Kim, because Shelly, you can speak to this. You were off social media for a long time. Like, you weren't on it at all. So, I mean, do you think
I feel like the social media for me was more of like an addiction. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate using that word, but it's just something to do. It was idle time. I was looking at Facebook, looking mm-hmm. at Instagram. What it was just something to fill my time. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was more of like an addiction where, oh, I'm looking at Facebook and I really should be up doing the laundry or doing something else more productive than looking at social media.
But that's my point, is that people are addicted to it and they are constantly looking at it, comparing themselves to others, that it's staged. You're not going to post things that are real life that you're going through. I mean, a lot of people don't, for example, hard times or depression or any of, and your anxiety attack or what that's about. And, it's all the fluff. And so I think, it's not real.
That's what we're trying to do here, Kim, is that let people know that this exists.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
This exists. And but there's five of us today, but, five of us that have had this touch our lives. And, mm-hmm. It's out there. And so I think you're right. People don't post the days they're down in the blue,
Nobody really wants to know that. That's why.
And you think that's why? I mean, oh, I totally. Care. I care about when my friends are having a bad day.
No. But yes and no. So I think that thing is, don't you think that's a more like, wouldn't you want to have that person reach out and not have to necessarily have to do it through social media? And I think that maybe the thing is with social media is that it's actually separating people rather than picking up the phone to actually ring and call the people and, to make sure that they're okay. Just because.
So
and I think we missed that.
Before we demonize social media. Okay, I will say that yes, I think you can get addicted. I think you can do it instead of, doing other things. I also think you can compare yourselves, but you can choose to follow what you follow. You can choose to see what you see. So, I don't follow people who are all like super glamorous, always posting those fake pictures,
You don't follow me, Susan?
I follow one very glamorous person named Shelly.
Shelly's doing the ab shot in the mirror.
She's got the nails and the hair.
Showing her booty,
But
we want to see the glamorous LA life.
So. Yeah. But I will say that social media saved my son's life.
Well, expand on that.
So
I feel like I'm interviewing you.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I just had to pause because
it's emotional. This is an emotional topic because, it is. It's we, and the thing that I want to point out too is I consider us somewhat lucky because we have each other.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact when each of our kids have had some episodes, we've been on the phone talking to each other, sometimes at length. And
absolutely.
And I think that's what we want to do with this sisterhood type of podcast, is let people know that you're not alone. And we've cried many a tear. We've had, it's not an easy topic.
Yeah. So
back to the social media.
Yeah. My son posted something on a social media site, and one of his friends responded, and he responded again. And this person who would have been the last person any of us in this family would have expected to actually help him or do anything, contacted one of his siblings and said, I think there's a problem. And from there, my son contacted me, and we were trying to contact my youngest. He was at school at the time. So, I mean, you know, there's good and bads to everything, and I like social media just as much as everyone else. I don't think that's what causes the problem. I think that we are seeing more of it because as a society, we're actually starting to talk about some of this stuff. We're like Wendy mentioned earlier, mom had some blue days. No, she had situational depression, and that's okay. You know, people go through that stuff. It's okay. If you have a situation that's really depressing, you know, I mean, you may go through that, and you have to understand that's okay. If you have a baby and you have postpartum, that happens. Talk to someone, get some help, talk to anyone, you know?
I think what it is a lot of people feel like they're alone, like they are the only ones going through it, when I think, as this forum has shown, it's not the case. There's lots of people that are going through it, and there's people that will have the same experiences. So,
the point is that it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that you're a bad parent. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with your kid or something wrong with you. It's just life. It's just part of life.
Yeah. Mm.
It means nothing. Get help, right? I mean, find a counselor, call a hotline, find a friend, all those things. I agree. Anybody have anything else to add?
Well, this is Wendy, and I just want to say on my lowest days, I always call one of you. Or all of you. And sometimes I think to myself, because I don't do the social media that much, really. And so sometimes I just think to myself, oh, my God, when did I get old? Because, like, you know, because I do it the old-fashioned way. Like, I pick up the phone and call my, you know, dearest friends who happen to be my sisters. And if I can't reach one of you, I reach out to another friend. And you know what? It's really strange. Sometimes if I don't get you, one of you always calls me back very quickly. Like, it's almost like you knew that I needed to have you call me right back, you know? And that always works for me and really helps me through the hard times.
No, I agree. And the phone call is crucial. Yeah, texting, I mean, you can text, but the phone call adds a sense of urgency to it, I think.
Yeah, and it's easier to convey emotion. Yeah. Through the voice versus through the fingers texting.
Yeah.
Although those emojis, I'm telling you, they're getting pretty good. So I may just start doing that.
I want everybody to know that I really don't know what any of the emojis mean. So you should never read anything into it.
So, Wendy, I know you don't do social media because you said the social media. That was good. The social media.
Oh my gosh.
Well, thank you, all of you, for being part of this conversation. And I hope, and maybe we'll address this again. I don't know. Do you think we've exhausted the topic, or is there more to say?
Oh, there's always more to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but I'm hoping we're moving it forward, that more people will realize that it's not just you if you're dealing with this. You know, there's resources, reach out to them, right? Would you add to that, you guys, or?
No, that's.
Absolutely. Find some avenue out there. There's a lot available. You just have to go look for it.
Yeah. And there's no shame involved. I mean, you're here on this earth for a reason. And it's not because of anything you're doing. I mean, you don't have all these achievements. You're
you know, people are worthy just because they're living, right? And I'm sure people love you. So, you know I feel that all the time from my family. So I hope people have that. And I hope they know that that's what we want to bring as a voice and a kind of a friendship virtually.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of social media, I mean, we're kind of, that's what we're kind of doing, right?
We love you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let us know. Let to all the listeners, let us know if there's a time in your life that you had a difficult time, if someone you loved did. Yeah, let us know. Give us a call. Give us a shout. Ask us a question. Anything.
Yeah. So with that said, we're going to sign off. Thank you, everyone. I love you all. It was great talking to you. And until next time, thanks.